Good morning. I don't know that I've ever worn a lapel microphone. All I need to do now is stumble and fall, and then I'll feel a lot better. Get it out of the way. I didn't realize this thing is as high as it is. I'm a powerful man, but I'm not that tall. I'm going to pray. And then after I pray, if Louise would come up and share a word that she got from the Lord this morning. You know, I'll tell you something before I start this thing. I've got all kinds of stuff written down. Most of you know me. And this is my first time up here doing something like this, so I might just read to you a lot. If you know me, you know I don't do that. I talk a lot. New ground, so be gentle. All right, I'm going to pray. Oh, please, Lord, not already. Father, if there's one thing that is the most important thing to me, it's you. If there's one thing I would want to talk about, it's you. I want to talk about what you are to me, what you've shown me that you are. Lord, these are words, and words only go so far. And I pray, Lord, that you would bring out of me what you would want to say to these people today, what you'd want to say to us about what it is to know you, because it's all that matters. And everything else is second best and second rate. Bless these people, Lord. Whatever you've given to me, give to them in this regard. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Good morning. During worship music this morning, I saw a picture of wooden board games. You know, like if you were to go to Cracker Barrel, they have the little wooden triangle and it's got the golf tees in it and you have to kind of try to move them around, or other wooden puzzles that you play and you keep score. And as I pondered this, I felt like the Lord was speaking about keeping score. That we keep score sometimes against ourselves, whether we've done something right or done something wrong. And sometimes we keep score about the Lord. God, you were there for me. God, you weren't there for me. God, I'm grateful. God, I'm disappointed. And as I pondered that, the Lord brought to mind the scripture verse that says that he does not count men's sins against them. Because of the provision he's made in Christ, the Lord is not counting your sins against you. You can have all the forgiveness that you need in him. But then the flip side brings the question, are you holding a score against the Lord? Are you keeping count of whether he pleases you or disappoints you? So as Pete speaks about the intimacy of the Lord, the question the Lord has really for you is, are you willing to give him the things that maybe you're holding score against him for? Because he wants you to be free, and he's already made provision for your freedom in Christ.
Thank you, Louise. Well, whatever I say today, this is what I intended to say. So I figured it would be best to give that to you up front. You were created for intimacy with God. That's why you were made. Jesus Christ restored the relationship between God and man that was once severed by sin. So, you know, you say something like God and man, well, personalize it, you and God. The world, the devil, religion, and all of our own weaknesses continue to battle against our personal relationship with God. And that happens on all kinds of fronts. I'm not used to this. Through God's grace and an attitude of brokenness, we can live close to God. We can experience communion with Him daily. And I would add to that at all times. So, whatever I say, that's what I wanted to say to you. Do you receive that? I have a little title on my piece of paper here that says Intimacy and Openness with God. And I just want to let you know they go hand in hand. You can't have intimacy with God without openness with Him. Originally, I was asked to speak about my vision for worship. And every time I started to do that as to what I thought it was, I always ended up talking about intimacy with God. That's what the Lord kept putting on my heart. And I'll just tell you, it's because without it, I can't worship the Lord. I could go so far, but my worship with Him, towards Him, there's a relationship with my worship to Him and my intimacy with Him. So, here's a kind of a vision. That all we do here is a result of our own individual intimacy with God. Everything we do, every program we decide to do, that kind of thing, is birthed out of our relationship with the Lord. And all that we do here leads others to the same thing. Did you get that? I teach fourth and fifth grade students, you know, so I'm used to always going. Do you understand, Mr. Romano? I used to teach high school, taught high school for the longest time, but finally I'm at a level where, you know, it's just right for me. There's this thing called the Westminster Catechism. I don't really know what it is. I don't know, 20-something years ago, you know, I read through this thing, and it's so long, and I don't remember if I read through the whole thing, and I tried to understand it. It is a document made in the middle of the 1600s for the Church of England, and I think Scotland adopted it, and who knows else. And there are some denominations that use it today. Anyway, the reason I mention it is because I remember one thing from this document, and it's the first question. What it is just a series of questions, a whole bunch of questions, and of course it's written by theologians and scholars, so like, you know, all the answers are like, what does that say, what does that say? I've read it 50 times and I still don't understand. That's the one I read it. But I do remember this. As a 20-something-year-old, I do remember this. And the first question is, what is the chief purpose for which man is made? And their answer is, the chief purpose for which man is made is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And I'll tell you what, you know, sometimes we talk about intimacy with God and we want to talk about feelings and this kind of things, and that's it. That's all part of it. But intimacy with God also brings joy. It brings joy. It brings happiness. So it's not, I'm saying this because I'm afraid of what I'm going to sound like. It's not like all serious. Okay? Now let me get a little serious. I wanted to have this definition up here, but like I said, I'm a newcomer to this, and I don't think I put it up there right. So this is kind of wordy, but I do want to read it. It's a definition of intimacy. Intimacy generally refers to the feeling of being in close personal association and belonging together. It is a familiar and very close, effective connection with another as a result of a bond that is formed through knowledge and experience. Genuine intimacy in human relationships requires dialogue, transparency, vulnerability, and reciprocity. The verb intimate means to state or to make known. To sustain intimacy for any length of time requires a well-developed emotional and interpersonal awareness. Intimacy requires an ability to be both separate and together participants in an intimate relationship. I know it's got a lot of words, but it's pretty good. Can we please play? I need to apologize first. At least I think I should. Pastor Lanny was gracious. I sent them a copy of this, and there might be a naughty word or two, but I think they're blotted out. Can someone...
Yeah, but you could have been, you know, with her.
I've been with lots of women.
Yeah, but, you know, she could have been the love of your life.
She is.
That's great. That's not great. No, that's wrong, Curly. You passed up something that might have been terrific.
My choice.
I never could have done that.
That's your choice. Cowboy leads a different kind of life. When there were cowboys. We're a dying breed. Still means something to me, though. A couple of days, we'll move this herd across the river. Driving through the valley. Oh, there's nothing like bringing in a herd.
See, now that's great. Your life makes sense to you. What's so funny?
You city folk, you worry about a lot of shit, don't you? Yeah.
My wife basically told me she doesn't want me around.
She read it.
I'm just saying.
How old are you? 38.
39.
Yeah. You all come up here about the same age, same problems. Spend about 50 weeks a year getting knots in your rope, and then you think 2 weeks up here will untie them for you. None of you get it. Do you know what the secret of life is?
No, what?
This.
Your finger?
One thing. Just one thing. You stick to that and everything else don't mean shit.
That's great, but what's the one thing?
That's what you gotta figure out.
Yep.
Thank you, Penny. So I'm here to tell you what the one thing is. I already have. Yep. Your relationship with the Lord. Through which everything else is secondary. I like that movie. Did you see that movie? All right, let me find out where I am. One of the things to grab from that little clip. You get busy, you get stressed out, you get distracted. You can say yes. I'm an interactive guy. You have problems in your life? Where do you go? I might be talking to just one person here today, but that's fine. The rest of us, you know, just support the delivery of the word for that one person. I look around and I know so many of you, and I know you know what I'm talking about. But it's okay to emphasize the truth. I don't care if somebody calls me up every day and tells me, Jesus loves you, Pete. That's all right with me. You want to do that? That's fine. Just don't do it too early and don't do it too late. Luke 10:38-42, Mary, Martha, and I guess their brother was Lazarus. And if my memory serves me right, we probably all know that they were close friends of Jesus. I just want to draw a couple of things from this. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village. So he's with his disciples and they're on their way. And a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. I just want to stop for a second. I never caught that before. Martha and Mary were at Jesus' feet. Martha was at Jesus' feet. For some reason that... Pew! She had an inkling. She knew. She wasn't like off or off doing whatever already. She knew that she was to sit at Jesus' feet. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Have you ever done that with God? Problems are too much? God! What's going on? I'm sorry, but that's, you know. I knew that this was going to be dangerous for me to talk about this topic. You know, God has never yelled at me. He doesn't have to. He's not intimidated by Pete Romano or anything I do or say. Okay, where am I on this thing? I knew this was going to happen. And she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha." You know, if you go through the Bible and you look where the Lord, the Holy Spirit, says somebody's name twice, there's always a kapow afterwards. Saul, Saul, kapow. You know? My wife, Pete, Pete, the kapow is coming. And there will be a kapow for me saying that. "You are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed." How many things are needed? One thing, the secret of life. Curly knew something. It's too bad that his one thing was probably the wrong thing, but that wasn't the point of showing the clip. "But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her." I'll say one more thing about this, I think. Some time ago, I was reading over this, and I actually made a connection from one scripture to another. So somebody's going to have to help me. Don't leave it to the pastor to have to help me. I have to help me on this, because I'm saying something right now I hadn't planned on saying. Who was it that actually, what is the term for Jesus' body? Wasn't it Mary? And the others went, and they missed the boat. There's a lesson in that. I'm not exactly sure what, but there's a lesson in it. There is a connection there. I know what it's like to not spend time with the Lord because there's something else I got to do. I don't know if I'll get to it today, but spending time with the Lord doesn't always mean quiet time. I got news for you. I'm talking to Him right now as I'm talking to you. Does that flip you out or what? I am asking for Him what to say to me. He's either going to say nothing, and so I'm going to keep talking on my paper, or He's going to tell me to say something. God is always there. He doesn't go away. He doesn't hide. He knows all. He sees all. And you shouldn't be threatened by it. All right, now I'm way off course. I'm going to bring something else up. Last Sunday, Rhonda had a word during a song, and I forgot the name of the song, but "Your Love Never Fails." And if you were here, I repeated the verses. I repeated the verses because although I didn't hear words in my heart, I'm familiar with God's presence. I'm familiar with Him when I'm alone with Him. And I'm still going off course. For instance, one of the things that I do, and some of you know this if you're close to me, I lay on the couch and talk to God. It might be late at night. It might be in an afternoon. I don't take a Bible with me. I don't take anything with me. I mean, I do sometimes, but most of the time I don't. And I shared this with Pastor Landy the other day. I've never really told anybody this because I think it would sound weird, but he said, "Rest assured, you know, it's okay." So I'll share it. And again, I didn't plan on it. I have a picture. I have a handful of pictures that I have with the Lord. And when I lay on the couch sometimes, and it might be in the morning. You know, it might be when I wake up. He might bring it to me. It's not only that He brings it to me, but sometimes I bring it up. Because I like that place. And I enter a courtroom, the kind of a courtroom a king would have. And I know that God is in the room because I feel His presence. But all I see is His foot. And it's huge. And I tell Him. I come in the door and I lay down on the floor. And I say, "Can I just hang out here for a while?" He's never said no to me. Now, I can't give you a lot of scripture for that. I can't give you a whole lot of head knowledge for that. And if there's anything you hear me say today, it ain't all about all that. The Bible is a book. If I want to experience intimacy with my wife, first of all, if there was a book about her, It wouldn't be one book. It'd be about 12 volumes. God bless her. I'm trying to make a point. It's not just the words in the Scripture. I go to the Scripture to meet with God. I don't go to the Scripture to gain knowledge. It's nice if I can. I go there to meet with Him. What would you say to me the day, Lord? So, what I was trying to say with my wife is that being with her is what counts. You know, if you're married for a while, just the fact that she's in the house. I'm sorry, honey, I did not plan on talking about this. My daughters are here, so I'll be protected later. It's just that she's in the house with me. Is this making sense to anybody? If I need her, let me shift over to the Lord so she doesn't feel bad. If I need Him, He's there. Wow, am I off my notes. You know, on my job, I deal with kids. And sometimes I used to have a job with a cubicle where I didn't have to deal with a lot of people. But I've got kids in my face, and I've got parents in my face, and I have circumstances that are out of my control. Russ Dobson knows about this. He's smiling over there. I pray in the Spirit. Sometimes when people are right in front of me, I just make sure it's not loud enough, or I just do it in my heart. I know He's with me. I've been in circumstances where I've gone to the men's room, shut the stall door, and prayed. I know He's with me. I don't look at myself. If there's anybody in here that does that, stop it. Don't look at yourself. I'm sorry. I'm a nice guy. I really am. Look at the Lord. What He's like. Some time ago, I had this discourse with God for a while. Like what His opinion of me was. And I don't know how it is for you, but a lot of times when in these less frequent times of being in a conversation with God, if I hear more of, oh boy, this is so hard to explain, but if I hear more of a set of words in my heart from Him, a lot of times He just asks me a question. Or He says like one word. So, I asked Him, you know, what about His opinion of me? What's your opinion of Pete Romano? I know, maybe that's a bizarre question for some of you. His answer was, what's your opinion of me? It will affect your openness and intimacy with God. Let me try to get back on course. It's important to remember how we were made. So if we could go to Genesis 1:20-27, I'm going to kind of read fast through it. I don't particularly like being read to. What I want you to pay attention to, if you would please, is where things are made, where they come from, and what God speaks to. Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Now it starts out with God said, and God spoke to the water. And from the water He brought living things. Okay? We see that? He spoke to that which sustains them. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creepy things and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. So, 24, verse 24 starts with, then God said, let the earth bring forth. So again, he speaks to that which sustains those beings. Are you with me? Then God said, let us make man in our image. There's something different there already. He didn't speak to the earth. He spoke to himself. We are made from God. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. I want to say one thing about male and female. And I'm not going to even attempt to talk about three gods in one. It's a mystery. Let me just leave it at that. It's a mystery. I'll say this. Before we were, God was already in relationship. He was in relationship with himself. I can't explain that, folks. And you can't either. Nobody can. And if somebody comes along and says they can, you need to not listen to them. This is dangerous to say in this time, but I'm going to say it anyway. Marriage is a reflection of who God is. The reason there's not just man, I mean, you know, there's male, female, not just to multiply. Man, meaning male, female, image of God, we are to be in relationship because Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are in relationship. So male, female, and God, relationship. You see that? Okay, a little bit of my own testimony, but not much. When I was a teenager, I used to run long distance. Can you tell? I'm not going to stand sideways. I thought I was running long distance to be in shape. I played soccer, I played baseball, I played football. I didn't say I was great at them, I just said I played them. I wouldn't run according to distance. I did when I started, but I ran according to time. I actually would go, okay, I'd drive my car somewhere and I'd go, I'm going to run an hour this way, remember the way I came after an hour, and come back. Now, if I even attempted 1 minute now, I don't know what would happen. But I used, you know, I was only 135 pounds, so. What I want to get to is that after a few weeks of that, and I was, you know, I was only like 17 years old, 16 years old. I was doing it to talk to God. I was not born again. I used to run and talk to him about anything. Because I wasn't concerned about his opinion for me. I assumed it was good. I didn't know any better. I know better now that it is good. I just used to run and talk. If I had a problem with a girlfriend, I'd talk to him about it. If I had a problem with some of the things that I was involved with at that time, and a lot of things I was involved with at the time were not good, I would talk to him about it. I mean, I think about it now, some of the things I used to talk about with God is so stupid. What I mean by that is, I know, thank you for correcting me, by the way, that was good. Which brings me to something. I still felt accepted by him. When I got older, moving along, I was raised in a denomination. And I've been thinking about how to say this, so I just want to tell you my heart. Okay, I am who I am. I have the background that I have. I hold no grudges against anybody. Best I can, best I know of. Okay? I was raised Catholic. I know Christian Catholics, and I am not, anything I say in the next 30 seconds is not a slander or a negative statement about any religion or any denomination. Okay? So I don't want to offend anybody. Somebody go like this because I'm really scared about saying these things. I thought, because I was different than a lot of my perception, I was different than a lot of my cousins and whatnot, that I used to talk to God like this, and that I was interested in God. Well, as a Catholic boy, obviously that means what? It's time for the priesthood. You know? And I was already doing things that wouldn't do too good for that. But that was just my logical progression of thought. I knew Catholicism, so it must be a call on my life. I didn't know then that the call is on all of our lives. But I didn't know that. I did some things to get better acquainted with the denomination. I had some friendships with priests. They were starting to teach me Catholic doctrine. I taught CCD. Who knows what that is? Catechism, CCD. So I started doing some things. And again, this is Pete Romano talking about his life, okay? I didn't realize it right away, but I realized what was happening. There was being things thrown in front of that relationship that kid had with God when he used to go running. Now, I just, you know, had so much more to figure out now. I mean, it's mind-boggling. And I was trying to figure out. I was sincere. I was trying to figure it out. And then what started to happen is I wasn't buying it. I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm talking about me. Okay? Okay. So, there were circumstances in my life, in my college years and whatnot, that God redirected my life. And I knew, I mean, I knew without a doubt, God did not want me to follow that path. Which, by the way, is one of the benefits of being intimate with God. It's easier to hear him. It's easier to be guided. I still get bruises from bumping into things, but I bump into fewer things now. Let's go to Luke 17, 20, 21. Asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he replied to them by saying, "The kingdom of God does not come with signs to be observed or with visible display. Nor will people say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'See, it is there.' For behold, the kingdom of God is within you, in your hearts, and among you, surrounding you." Now, I bring this up for 2 points. With the obstacles and things, there were things outside of me, foreign to what I had already had with the Lord. And here the Word tells me, if I'm a believer, the Lord makes residence in my heart. He's in me. I don't know about you, but that always kind of, I still haven't figured that out, you know. I mean, I've heard it explained. I've heard some good teaching, some good preaching, but I'm still okay. I mean, it's not like God's in there like he's on the couch eating your chips and watching your widescreen TV wondering when you're going to, I don't know. It's not like that. He's there. He's such a gentleman, the Lord. That is one of the characteristics of God that has always blown my mind. Nothing he does not know. Nothing he cannot do. But he doesn't force his way. There's nobody like that. All right, one more thing, and then I'm going to try to close up a bit. Penny, I'm going to go to Matthew 7:21, please. 7:21-23. I'm going to start reading. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. And then it says, you who practice lawlessness, that has a different meaning than probably what most people think. Look, this sounds harsh. And if you see it in context, I mean, it's pretty straight to the point. But I'm not really, like, this is my problem. This is one of my problems. Like, the reason I'm here right now, look, I love you guys, I do. I'd rather not be here. Don't hear me wrong. Please don't hear that wrong. I am not a person that wants to be put on display. I'm okay with it. Lanny loves me. I know he does. I'm okay with it. God loves me. I'll do what he tells me to do. Lanny had an awesome, last Sunday. And you know, obedience is a big part of intimacy with God. But, and Lanny explains this, you know, it's not, I must be obedient to be intimate with God. I mean, that's just the wrong flavor. That's not it. The more you know him, the more you just want to do whatever he tells you to do. I mean, you want to call it obedience, go ahead and call it obedience. I don't. It's just because I no longer understand it that way. He has blessed me beyond my imagination. My family. I can just go off about that. Okay. I'm not going to, though. I'm going to read something off a blog. You guys ever read blogs like Christian web pages and stuff like this? I do. I don't know. For some reason, I enjoy it. And this was a blog I read a couple of weeks ago, and it was about relationship with God. And this is interesting. It's sad, but it's also good. I call it Confessions and Advice from a Retired Ex-Religious Clergyman. This is what he says, and this is just I pulled it out. As a retired pastor and psychologist for over 40 years, it has only been in the last 2 months that I have accomplished living in an intimate relationship with God. I am happier, at peace with myself, others, and God, and understand the peace that passes all understanding. Yet I have searched for 40 years to achieve this. It's far from simple. Now, I would tend to disagree with him there, but he corrects himself. Or in reality, I need to surrender to God, the God that loves me. So he did learn. See, the thing is, and I know you've heard this in this house, God loves you way more than you can imagine. Okay, I'll say one more thing. My goodness, I'm doing what I don't want. Revelation 3:20, last scripture. I am so glad Louise read what she read, because whatever I've tried to communicate to you guys, God is there. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. Now that scripture is to the church. Do we sometimes have good seasons in the Lord and have seasons that maybe aren't so good? He doesn't change. He's still there, loving you the same. Josh, can you please come up? If I could... Oh, not this guy, that guy. Sorry. I didn't know that was going to happen. If you could just give us like 30 seconds, I'm just going to grab my guitar. This is Josh Earhart. He's going to play bass. And I'll try to talk and do this at the same time. One of the things I would have talked about is ways that I connect with the Lord. Well, one of the ways I connect with the Lord is through worship music, and I know a lot of people don't. And if that's not your primary way of connecting with the Lord, that's totally okay. The point I would make is know those things that do easily put you in His presence, in an awareness of Him. All right. Can I turn this off, Pat? This is dangerous because I just came up with the song. So I'll do my best, okay? If I fumble over the words, you can go ahead and get embarrassed for me. I think I need to take this jacket off. Boy, you guys are quiet. I wish I had a classroom of you guys. Man, nobody's like blowing their nose or screaming or... You're not hung up on
is your grace for today. No worries about tomorrow, 'cause you're already there. All I need is to hear your voice. Your presence washing over me is my peace, it's my joy. No pretending and no denial, I come to you just as I am. You're not hung up on what I'm hung up on. You desire that I be.
Thank you.
I'm finished.
For those who weren't here for that and haven't seen the video, they're raising the eyebrows going, what? And then we spent some time looking at a life of obedience, that worship begins in responding to the goodness of God. Pete says it something like this: I want to do what pleases him because I'm so thrilled with him. You know? And the use of the word obedience sometimes make it sound like duty. And I have to admit, there are some times when duty is what we do. But undergirding that is the confidence that the Lord understands what's taking place. You know, as I listen to Pete, and I just so delight and who he is as a person and what he has on the Lord and how many times he encourages me just out of his jabbering. I think about what we go through to be accepted by others. The behavior, the hairdo, the brand names, and then how we look at someone. Somebody walks in the room and they've got a birthmark over half their face. And what do you think in that moment? Okay. Or you see someone born without a limb. What do you think in that moment? Okay. Let me ask you to think about this. Let's suppose that you actually believed God accepts you unconditionally, just as you are. What might that actually look like in you if you actually believed He loves you and accepts you completely, just as you are? Would it change the way you think about him, or talk to him, or relate to him? Would you stop some of the religious striving stuff? Because you can't score points with God. You can't gain standing by trying hard to behave. He loved you unconditionally when you didn't give him the time of day. How much more will he hold on to you now that you belong to him? Now, Pete is describing a relaxed relationship out of a pattern in his life. It's natural for him to lay on the sofa and think about running before God, because his life has been talking to God. Some of us joined the game late. Some haven't joined the game yet. But the truth is, all that battling that goes on in our mind, trying to make sure that we're doing the right thing in order to, whatever that is, it's just stressful. stressful. I still battle it. I had legalistic imprints put upon me as a child. I'm more relaxed now, but there are days, if I'm not careful, I could beat me up. Really. Just for those thoughts. Now, if you're keeping score with God, if you've got a list of how He's disappointed you, problem's not from His side of the fence. Because He knows where He's leading you. He knows what He's trying to craft you into. I don't know of any piece of wood that ever volunteered to be. But we admire the work when the lathe and the sanding and the chiseling is done. We go, that's a wonderful piece of work right there. And all that chiseling and lathing is God crafting you into the thing He had in His mind before you ever were. And it's not about rejection. It's not about punishment. It's not about why you're doing this to me. He is training you to represent Him in your context. And the sooner we rest in that, the easier it's going to be to hear the dentist drill without your skin crawling. Now, Pete has spoken to us out of his relationship. We've spent this month focusing on aspects of that relationship we identify as spiritual life. But it's actually living the Spirit that's in your life. It's not something you apprehend. It's something you display. Wherever you are, you're right where you need to be. And I know the Lord. I know the Lord. He can help you make the next step. So as we close out the month of September, we're not closing out the opportunity for you to reengage the dynamics that give you access to the Lord. And if you don't know what they are, hang out with people who do, because they can help you get there. Would you stand? Our first-time guests, we invite you to the hospitality room out these double doors and to the left. In 10 minutes, we'll start the orientation class up in my office and the Financial Peace University instruction up in Maryland's office. But if you need to linger around the altar and just sort of say, God, can we start over? Can we have some do-overs? Can we set aside some of the things that are haunting me? Can you give me grace to forgive you for the way I feel mistreated by you? Whatever it is, let it happen today. And let us finish out this year, go into the next one in a renewed place in our relationship with Jesus. Father, we thank you so much for the simple clarity of Pete's presentation of the relationship the two of you have. Not as a standard for us, but a reminder to us that we have one too. And for each heart, Lord, that's troubled or unsatisfied or insecure, I ask for God the Holy Spirit to come and speak distinctively into their hearts and spirits. Lord, allow us to be aligned with the reality of your love, your commitment, your devotion, your compassion, your mercy, your acceptance, and your desire over us and through us, so that as we enjoy one another, that joy gets communicated to others around us. I bless these who have hearing ears. I pray for those who have troubled hearts. And I ask you, Lord, to allow us to move forward in you together as a household of faith that knows your presence, hears your voice, loves to respond to your leadership, and delights in telling one another about the goodness of the Lord. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the increasing love of God our Father, and the daily communion of the Holy Spirit be the testimony in each of our homes to your glory through us, in Jesus' name. The altar is open. You're dismissed to the lobby if you choose to fellowship.